So it's Rocco and Ashley Fires fucking. And it was the most awe-inspiring thing I've ever seen. I don't know if dudes will ever be able to understand what this is like, but bitches get cum drunk. You can fuck a girl so well, she can't remember her name, she can't walk, she's on the floor twitching, she's drooling, like she's gone. She is dick drunk. And Ashley Fires gets dick drunk. She is fucking toasted, right? She's gone. She's fucking Rocco. And if you've ever had sex with Rocco, he puts his dick in and then your brains go right out. And that whole like acting porny, no, you just hold him to a wall and try and survive while Rocco does his best to kill you with his dick.
Well, that woke you up. Tom Terrero podcast 130 on porn star blues, specifically on Rocco Siffredi, the Italian stallion porn star. We shall be talking about him today and the movie about his life and his retirement, the documentary. It's on Netflix. You can watch it elsewhere, just called Rocco. Cheers to The Wolf and Polish Rob for recommending this documentary. Let's start, first of all, with a quote that I've used before, but it links with Rocco Siffredi and the theme of this podcast and the theme of secret society sex. Samuel Johnson, not a porn star, he said, "He who makes a beast of himself gets rid of the pain of being a man." So we shall talk about that today, how that links with Rocco and that documentary. If you don't know who Rocco Siffredi is, then you're a good boy. You don't watch porn. And I don't jerk off to porn, really. My imagination, my memories are good enough. But in the world of porn, Rocco Siffredi is the giant for his giant penis. All 10 inches of it, I think. That's what he's famous for. He's famous for rough sex. He's famous for anal. He's famous for his 1,300-ish movies and for fucking somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 girls from his late teens to when he retired at 51, 52. He's not only an actor, but he's still a director. He's still a producer. He's married. The documentary goes through all of this. And when those guys told me to watch it, The Wolf and Polish Rob, I put off clicking on it, really, because I thought, okay, it's going to be like one of these cheap throwaway TV documentaries just for, you know, sex sells clicks. And eventually I watched it because I thought, right, who's this character, a guy that's fucked 5,000 girls? And sure, most of them, you know, over 4,000 of them were on porn sets. It was his job, those girls were paid. But as that quote said at the beginning from Rain DeGray, when Rocco fucks a girl, it generates lust and there's true desire and there's something animalistic, it's deep, forgive the pun. Women want to fuck him. So hundreds of women fucked him for being Rocco. Yeah, there's pre-selection and fame. But if you click on, which you're going to do, I bet you're going to watch a Rocco Siffredi porn clip. You should, really. You should watch that documentary. Not in your office, wait till you're back at home. But you'll understand that this guy is something different, and the documentary explains why. Because, he's literally a fucking pro. The women are getting paid, but you'll see why it's different, and that's what we want to address today. First of all, because I know a guy's going to say, oh, what about NoFap? I thought porn and jerking off was bad. I've said often when that question has been asked, no, I'm not against jerking off, choking the chicken. Okay, for some guys, it really lowers their motivation and they don't go out, they just play video games and it makes them lethargic. Okay, so don't do it. But remember, it's normal, it's healthy to replenish the stocks. Doing it when you know you feel super horny, it's good. It allows you to sleep. As I said, it's rejuvenating. It actually makes me more productive. I'd say more horny a lot of the times. A pro tip, which a lot of day gamers I've lived and traveled with use as well, is watch a bit of porn before you do day game or before you go on a date. Don't jerk off. But it's only a problem if it's a true addiction. You know, if you can't give it up and it's stopping you going out and day gaming and dating and meeting real girls. Okay, I accept. And many, many things can be an addiction, especially if you have an addictive personality, addictive personality. But no, don't let the Puritans, Don't let the religious shaming stop you doing it. All right. So, no, I don't go along with the no-fat movement, but all good things in moderation. But anyway, let's get back to the topic. Rocco Siffredi. Like I said, I'm not a big consumer of porn, never have been, even since I was a teenager, you know. In my early teens, I just used my imagination about girls that I actually knew. So I didn't know who Rocco Siffredi was until I moved into the Day Game House of Filth in Marble Arch in London that I speak about. You can read about that on my blog when I did those 30 blog posts called Below the Belt. And I moved into the Day Game House in Marble Arch, and a fellow coach and day gamer called John Matrix, I'd fuck girls with John, and he always said, oh, you got to watch this guy Rocco Siffredi, because he'll show you how to really fuck a girl. He'll show you how to really create desire, right? And it's not just the kind of empty acting porn, but we would put on a clip in the living room, all these day gamers sitting around the TV. It sounds gay, but as RSD say, it's not gay if it's self-development or if dicks don't touch, it's not gay. We just watch a Rocco clip and go, fuck, that's interesting. That's how he fucks girls. That's what he does. That's what he says. That's how he holds them. That's how he starts. That's how he holds their hair. That's where he does it. That's how he does anal. Look at the girl's reaction. And I know a load of guys go, well, they're acting, man. It's porn. They're getting paid. Yeah, okay, you can, if you fucked enough girls, you can see the classic porn thing, and then you can see the way girls react to Rocco. And often it's that after he's finished done thing, them quivering on the floor, them unable to speak, them unable to move, is a transcendent experience where they're like, holy fuck, girls can't walk after being fucked by Rocco Siffredi. So you click on the documentary and you think, okay, this is going to be porn. This is just going to be something erotic. This is going to be something cheap. But quite quickly you realize, fuck, this documentary is very profound. This man is multi-layered, okay, deep in all senses. And it's beautiful directing. The camera work is beautiful. It's profound. It's got pleasure. A lot of it's about pleasure, so you see hot birds and asses and tits and shots of him fucking, okay, but very quickly your mind is taken away from just the fucking, especially the slow motion shots, the cropped shots where you see the physicality of the fucking, but you get onto his story, and then it becomes like something that Martin Scorsese would shoot, you know. It becomes like it becomes almost like The Godfather, where you've got these themes of redemption and Catholic guilt and resurrection. Because he's Italian, remember, there's lots of things about his mother and the death of his mother and his relationship to women and sex early on. And the final scene, I won't spoil it completely, but when Rocco says, okay, I'm going to retire from porn at the age of 50, 51, he makes his last porn film, and the documentary follows that. And in that last porn film, there's basically a crucifixion. And it's describing Rocco's mental state and his relationship to porn and sex. And the documentary's dark. In many places, it's dark. Like in game, like in life, it's not presented as this dream job. This is why Rocco's so interesting, because he's quite open about his sex addiction. If you fucked 5,000 girls and then once or twice he tries to stop, he realizes he's got this sex addiction. He realizes he's ruled by his dick. And that's not me going, oh, sex is bad, sex addiction's bad. No, I'm just saying this is something which is quite literally part of his job. It's his utmost pleasure, but it's all consuming. So there's something cosmic about this documentary and the themes in it. And when he tries to give up the first time, he openly talks about using prostitutes, because he was fucking, you know, three girls a day or whatever, and then he went to nothing. So he talks about his use of prostitutes. So a very, very interesting documentary on lots of levels. I've made some notes and I'll go through them. If you can watch the documentary, watch it. If you're a guy who has had sex with hundreds of women, you will understand this on so many levels. And if you don't want to watch this film, it's okay. I shall try to relate these notes to wider themes in Daygame. First of all, if you watch Rocco Siffredi, you will understand that the way he moves around women, the way he behaves around women, is very, very telling. Okay, a guy in abundance, incredible abundance, having fucked thousands of hot birds, excuse me, you're obviously going to behave in a completely different way to a nice guy who's fucked two or three girls and who's chronically needy. So the way he holds himself, his posture, his walk, the way he's got that amused mastery, of course he has, because sex comes to him on a plate. Yeah, it's girls getting paid. Okay, I get it. But just the fact, the physiological fact of fucking 5,000 girls, of course will change the way you look at them, the way you speak to them. He's in no big rush to get the deed done. Okay, he genuinely loves women. Not on that chody, white knighty, wanting to save them level, but just an appreciation of beauty and female energy and how it relates to male energy. So you see that a lot. And it's most obvious in comparison to the guy who shoots most of the videos. I think they've been working together for 20, 30 years or something. It's his cousin, you could say his camp cousin, a very metrosexual Italian guy called Gabrielle, or Gabby, I think. And he comes across as very feminine, as very friendly, very beta. And we'll talk about beta rage at the end when we see his true character. But I don't know how much sex his cousin was getting, but so different from Rocco in the movie. His job is to be the professional one, make the women feel at ease, organize the shoot, etc., etc. While Rocco, his job is to fuck. So you get a great capturing of alpha versus beta if you've ever wanted to see it in person. Secondly, how the girls are really turned on. Okay, yep, he's famous, as I said. Yep, he's got a reputation. Yep, he's got a 10-inch dick. And yeah, they are getting paid. These are female porn stars. But there's plenty of times in the movie where he's meeting girls that might be in a future film. He's just hanging around girls. There's just girls who are in close proximity. And immediately, if you fucked a lot of girls, or even if you just dated or day-gamed a lot of girls, you'll see real IOIs, okay? Things that you can't fake. You'll see a real flushness. You'll see the floppiness. You'll see girls just in the palm of his hand. So if you've ever wanted to see what real IOIs look like, then, watch girls around Rocco Siffredi. Even girls that interview him, I've seen different clips where it's a bit like that early Russell Brand effect. The eyes spazzing out, the trembling, the tingling, it's obvious. Okay, the third point, which is really the wakey, nice guy point, and the whole point of me writing this new book. What lover sex looks like, right? How hard it is. And by hard, I mean really fucking hard. Right, forgive the puns, the physicality of it, the way he trains, the sweat dripping off his face, the way it's all consuming, the way he gives his all, completely differently from a guy who hates women and wants revenge. There's a guy in the documentary, another porn star, and you see the way he fucks girls, and it's just kind of, you know, his eyes shut, just hammering girls, just hates them. You can read up on this guy. I won't go into him in particular. The story's too complicated. But with Rocco, it's a religious experience. And I think Rocco was going to be a priest early on, like many an Italian boy, a mama's boy. And then mama said, okay, he's not going to be a priest. He's going to be a porn star. So yeah, when he fucks, he fucks. And just compare his fucking to yours. Compare the positions he uses to yours. Compare the way the girls react to you. Compare what he says, how he holds them, how he semi-chokes them, of course, consensually, the slaps he uses, the moves he uses. To somebody who fucks a lot of girls, even if you've only fucked 10 girls or 30 girls or 50 girls, maybe you fucked hundreds of girls like me. It's interesting. Because you look at a professional guy who's been fucking girls for 30 odd years and you go, ah, interesting. And that's what we used to do. in the Marble Arch House sit around and go, oh, that is very interesting. Look at that move there. Let's pause the video. It's genuinely interesting because guys go, oh, that's gay watching another guy fuck. No, it's I fucked girls with another guy. I haven't fucked guys, but it's that's how you open your eyes. The first time I had a male-female threesome, I've had many with wings, and it's interesting. You go, I thought sex was like this, but he fucks girls like this. That's wow, and that's how girls respond. So the major take-home message from the documentary is look at what girls really desire. Look at their quote-unquote dark secrets. Look at what they respond to, and look at how you can fuck women. And I know for loads of nice guys, and I'm sure loads of guys that reviewed that documentary, they must have been shocked. Okay, something completely alien to how they make love with candles and Barry White. Now, porn is slightly strange, I understand. I've shot a porn film, as I say in that Below the Belt book. I haven't acted in a porn film, but I was behind the camera of a porn film with a mate called Dave. We shot one in Essex, really down and dirty, really cheap. And yeah, when the camera stops, I remember the girl, she was sipping Bacardi breezes and eating pizza. It was all quite squalid. So lots of people say, oh, it's only a porn film and that's not what sex is like in real life. But if you know enough about Rocco Siffredi, if you know enough about what girls say about fucking Rocco Siffredi, then you'll understand that he does porn differently and how much women love the domination. If you've listened to my podcast, it's not a surprise why 50 Shades of Grey is the most popular book on the planet after the Bible, I think. When girls are saying, oh, we couldn't possibly like a man dominating us. How terrible, how un-PC. Well, what people search for on Google, what people watch in the privacy of their own home is telling. So it's clear that's what the documentary is about. How girls want to please him. How girls want to fully submit to that point of not being able to move. It's consensual, but it's awesomely displayed. Now, I've mentioned his wife. Rocco Siffredi's married. Rocco Siffredi has kids. His wife was a porn star for a time. You should note that. But she was mainly a model. She comes across as prim and proper in the documentary, and she says, oh, I don't mind Rocco fucking because it's just sex, and I understand that, but he loves me. And you can kind of see that working out. I get that vibe. If you listen to my podcast with Real Black Dragon, you can understand that an open long-term relationship thing where both accept that sex can be sex and love is something different, pair bonding, raising kids is something different. But she has to say that. And Rocco's real reason, he says, for giving up porn is just feeling weird about it now because his sons are teenagers and he's just feeling like he's over it on whatever level, whether that's because his wife's nagging him to do it or he genuinely feels weird about his kids watching him, not literally, but watching his videos. That's why he says it. But that's an interesting theme in the documentary. And because Rocco's never had to do cold approach pickup, maybe he has, but I'm sure he hasn't. Has he got over the myth of monogamy? Does he get under the thumbed by his wife? Those are things we don't know because she only appears in it in quite a transitory nature. But anyway, it's an interesting point that I made. A bigger point, which every guy listening to this podcast should think about, is how he loves women, right? As I've said, not as a chode, but as something deep on so many levels. Something religious, which is what creates the passion, but it also creates the pain, the pathos. It's his addiction, which drives him to despair as well as ecstasy. But there's nothing bitter, there's nothing prickly, there's nothing reactive about Rocco. And this I really get. This is what I really like when I watch that documentary. This is the understanding, something that seems contradictory, that you can pound a girl, you can fuck a girl into oblivion, you can dominate a girl at the same time as loving her, as appreciating her, as appreciating female beauty. Sounds chody, but if you fucked enough girls and you're over the whole bitter phase of the red pill thing. You're offline, you're in field, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I've highlighted that because that's one of the biggest things I took away from watching the documentary. Again, let's come back to this point of what girls really like. And there's a porn star called Kelly who's made porn films with Rocco for about 20 years. She's this English bird, she's this dominatrix, she's pretty mouthy. But she loves to be dominated, and she says not many guys can dominate her. She describes rough sex as like the purest form she can be. When she's submissive, she's finally totally free. And yeah, she says it's very rare to find a man who can do this. And high testosterone girls, powerful women, lawyers, doctors, just girls who hold the frame all the time in their normal lives, I've told you before, they love more than anything. This is the same with hot feminists. They love to be dominated. They crave it, but it's very hard for them to find it. A girl with a high sex drive, she needs somebody like Rocco Siffredi. Anyway, for the final shoot for his final porn film, they get Kelly back, and she's plastic fantastic. She's aged. I think she's got the fake titties. But anyway, she wants to be fucked one last time by Rocco. And this is where the crucifix and the nun themes come back in. But that's not the interesting bit. The interesting bit is when she flies to America to meet Rocco and his cousin. You remember that camp cousin I told you about, Gabrielle? And here's where you see frame in action. Here's where you see the difference between alpha and beta. Between someone that can dominate Kelly and someone that's a pussy. A walkover. So Kelly in the car is provoking Gabrielle, and typical nice guy stuff, you know, he's prickly but he's trying to hide it in that passive aggressive way. And she keeps shit testing him and shit testing him and shit testing him because she's trying to provoke a reaction. This is what girls do. Are you a man or a mouse? And she's saying, you know, you've always been weak, you've always been a pussy, etc., etc. I'm not sure why she's pushing him, maybe because it's on camera. But then you see a real explosion, like gamma rage, beta rage. He has this meltdown in a car park, in a gas station. He just explodes, and he shows his true colors because he can't handle her. He completely loses the frame, and she's like, come on, for once in your life, have some balls. And he can't do anything. Whether that's because he's been behind the camera while Rocco's been in front of the camera. There's a bit in the documentary where he admits that he was a porn star for a while, or he tried to be a porn star. Rocco set him up, but he couldn't get it up on camera for whatever reason. I don't know why he's a bit of this camp beta character, because being around porn stars for 20 years, you know, he should have had some of Rocco's magic rub onto him in no literal sense, obviously. But yeah, there's something odd about him. And the nice guy plays this friendly, I'll help you, I'll be your best friend character, until a girl pushes his buttons and then he just explodes. Not orgasmically, but quite violently. And it's quite shocking to see. And you see Kelly's kind of disgusted by this because he's revealed himself as the weaker man. And Rocco can do nothing but stand there and kind of shake his head. And then a day later, fuck her into oblivion. So that's a good message if you're a nice guy. And my new book, Below the Belt, like I said, it's 50% of it's free on my blog. You can read many times where I fuck girls who have strong frame. And this is where you really need to learn how to fuck, and how to make them come, and how to get them coming back for more, and why anal's a pimp move for that, and different things you can say. That's all on the blog. But if you don't fuck them properly, they'll walk all over you. Hopefully that's inspired you to watch the documentary. Like I said, it's on Netflix. You can find it probably elsewhere online. Rocco, R-O-C-C-O. Search Rocco Siffredi documentary. And if all that shocked you, and you're like, Tom, I didn't know you fucked girls like that, or you thought that about porn, or this is what girls want. I bet there's some guys out there thinking, not all girls are like this. Only cheap porn stars would do this. Well, my friends, you got a lot to learn. Start by reading that 1970s book, My Secret Garden. Nancy Friday, she collected fantasies of American housewives, those quality girls that people sing about on PUA forums, not like the cheap sluts, those quality girls you can read about their actual fantasies that they submitted anonymously. Shocking. You can read Sperm Wars. Watch, like I've said, Nymphomaniac Part 1 and Part 2. How girls fuck, why girls fuck, different stages of a girl's life. It's an awesome two-part film. And the Korean version of that, something a lot more beautifully shot, called The Handmaiden. I recently watched that. I might do a podcast on that. An awesome film with some lovely lesbian action. All right, 5 minutes to go. We shall finish with me reading one of those Below the Belt Dirty 30 Secret Society posts from the blog. And it was part 15. If you want to read along, just type in Below the Belt Part 15. I shall link it. And it's called, as a tribute to Rocco Siffredi, Bodily Fluids 101. And I start with a quote from Pedro Juan Gutierrez, I think. He says, sex isn't for the squeamish. Sex is an exchange of fluids, saliva, breath and smells, urine, shit, sweat, microbes, bacteria. Or there is no sex. If it's just tenderness and ethereal spirituality, then it can never be more than a sterile parody of the real act. And the blog begins like this. Lovers' sex based on desire can't be negotiated. It's raw, wild and down and dirty. Without this acceptance of dominance and submission, there is no sex, as the above quote makes clear. When couples get into an exclusive relationship, this desire in the bedroom fades, because humans aren't monogamous, and sex becomes either romanticized or plain boring. It's now a sterile, negotiated thing, not a spontaneous, hot, dirty explosion. Secret society sex is certainly not for the squeamish. And as I promised, I'm going to recount some of the graphic scenes from my day game adventures in the last few years. If you're eating your lunch and reading this, perhaps save this post until later. I've already written about bloody sex in this post, which I linked to on that blog. I talk about why it's common to have sex with a girl when she's on a period. Many times I've been covered in blood and my bed sheets too after such lays. Only once was it my blood when I got my foreskin caught in my jean zipper in a hostel as I was about to bang a Czech girl, as I recount in my first book, Day Game. Fuck, that hurt. Anal sex is something I initially tried with a hot Turkish virgin in London, also recounted in that first book, and subsequently with around a dozen girls. I'll admit that I've always gone bareback, but at least half of them have had showers beforehand or I've smashed her in the shower itself. My rule for anal with a girl is that she has to be hot. I save it for the eights and above. It's a really dominant move to introduce a girl to it, something that pimps do in a dark triad way to keep the girls in their frame. Only twice I've looked down after anal and seen shit on my dick. Once was with a hot Ukrainian and once with a Russian. The girls are just as embarrassed as you are, so I always go straight to the shower afterwards. One time when I was living in the Marble Arch house, I shot my load inside a hot blonde's ass, and after sex I left her to go on her shopping outing to Oxford Street. She texted me from the shop to tell me she had my cum dripping down her legs and that it was turning her on. Sometimes girls' pussies smell or taste weird for whatever reason. I've always found it odd that some girls don't smell or taste of anything at all whenever you see them, whereas other girls can stink, and I mean really stink. Two of the hottest girls I fucked, one Russian and one Lithuanian, both had smelly pussies, which was nauseating as I was fucking them, especially from behind. Whether they knew they had a problem or not, I don't know, but it really changed my nice guy opinion of hot girls as marble statues and pure angels. I fucked a handful of girls who were natural squirters, where towels were needed to soak up the wetness on the bed after she came. Most likely female piss, whatever porn wants you to believe. The same day lay Las Vegas girl from Stealth Seduction squirted out so much fluid when we were going for it doggy style that the carpet around her was drenched. Sex in a romantic comedy movie is all kissing, mood lighting and missionary. The reality of secret society sex is much more similar to that seen in the Lars von Trier film Nymphomaniac. There's scratching, sweating, biting and domination of intense proportions. In the heat of the moment with a lover, she'll let you go inside her without a condom. Or sometimes she'll pull off the condom. She'll scream for you to come inside her, to spank her harder, to call her a whore, to pin her down, to face fuck her. And that's just the beginning. Real dirty sex reveals repressed fantasies, ancient forces and primitive urges. It's so liberating precisely for these reasons, where you can both finally turn off your forebrains and reconnect to the hindbrain. It's the Big Bang personified, the whole reason for life on Earth, released in a cosmic explosion of orgasmic energy. I've pissed on girls in the shower and fucked them as they pissed in the shower too. I've not gone as far as the Japanese do of taking a crap on a girl, or even worse, her on me, but I've tried everything I want to try. In the future posts of that series, I recount the threesome adventures and my forays into BDSM, which have taken me to the limits of my fantasy tick list. There's plenty of embarrassing things about lover sex. The sweatiness of it, her fanny farts as you pound her, the awkwardness of cleaning up after you've shot your load into the face of a girl you've known for less than 2 hours, the self-consciousness of lying there butt naked after sex with a stranger and making weird small talk, the times when you lose your wood after hours of token LMR and then she decides she wants it, the stinky morning breath of each other's mouths when you wake up, the fact that some hot girls have strong body odor after she's been walking around a city all day getting sweaty and you've pulled her back for a same day lay, the times when a girl's puked from a night out drinking and then gets back into bed wanting to fuck you. There's also the embarrassment of going to get your gear checked out at a sexual health clinic. You're going to drop your pants, have a bright light shone on your manliness, have to take a piss in a tube, have a swab shoved up your dick and your blood taken, all while trying to make small talk with the cute nurse. One time I walked out of a checkup clinic to have a guy tap me on the shoulder and tell me he enjoyed my videos. I wasn't sure if I should shake his hand or not. And I finish a post by saying, any experienced day gamer who hasn't come across, get it, come across, such girls or scenarios is either telling fibs or he hasn't actually banged that many girls. Dirty sex in lover mode is, by definition, filthy in more ways than one. Either you can accept it and enjoy it as part of the secret society, or cling to the purity fantasy and pretend that it doesn't exist. And that denies your humanity. And that's a great word for rockers. So Freddie, to finish, humanity. I hope you enjoyed it. Speak to you next week. Ta-da.